The Birth of an Idea is the very first Lunenburg Dock Festival hits the Maritimes. One person has a concept, calls a few who worked in the industry, steering committee formed, co-chairs named, target date set. Over 400 submissions later from 59 countries, the stage is set, theaters booked, youth workshops organized. I'm Paul Kellogg. Just prior to the curtain going up, co-chair Pamela Sager joins us for a quick update as the Lunenburg Dock Festival takes form. Hear about it on the next Blue Nose Opera House radio show. Pamela Sager, Blue Nose Opera House, you are back. This is an updated version of Lunenburg Dock Festival. I'm really anxious to get into some of the things that are happening, that have been happening since we spoke with you last. We'll get our update in just a couple of minutes. Let's kick things off with this Rufus Wainwright song. And I was thinking of you because you did, at UCLA, you did a playwright workshop, I believe. And this is called California.
California, California. You're such a wonder that I think I'll stay in bed. Big time rollers, part time models. So much to plunder that I think I'll sleep instead. I don't know this. See you in neon, thousand sippers with Cipriot and big nights back east with Rudder.
Have a hard time with Rufus Wainwright, where I want to say Rufus Wainwright. And that's a thing called California. To introduce Pamela would be something that I'd think about in five different directions. But this is the promo that we run throughout the week at radio stations. And it kind of gives you the background very briefly. The Birth of an Idea points to the very beginning as the very first Lunenburg Dock Festival hits Atlantic Canada. One person has a concept, calls a few who've worked in the industry, a steering committee is formed, co-chairs named, and a target date is set. Over 400 submissions later from 59 countries, and the stage is set, theaters booked, youth workshop organized. Just prior to the curtain going up, co-chair Pamela Sager joins us for a quick update, and the Lunenburg Dock Festival takes form. So it's good to have you here. That just sets the stage for why you're sitting here in the studio again.
Thank you. It's great to be back, Paul.
Oh, that's what they all say. So,
do they all mean it?
In case, that's up to them. Okay. So in case people didn't hear the first show with you and Deb Beers, mm-hmm. just quickly in this first segment we'll go over. You were born in Atlanta, Canada. Mm-hmm. Was it in the Valley?
In the Valley.
Mm-hmm. Kentville?
No. Actually, I can't say I was born there. I was born in Halifax, right. But I lived my entire youth in the Valley.
Formative years. Mm-hmm. Though they're still formative, I think.
Yes, that's right, Paul.
Then you went off to Edmonton. Not that we will bring the subject of table dancing in, but I remember that there was a musician who you thought was wonderful. You played on the last show, and he was hopping on tables or something,
I wondered
right?
who was table dancing. Yes, that's Bobby Cameron,
yes.
Cape Breton boy.
Mm-hmm. And you so admired his work.
I do, very much.
And so you were in Edmonton how many years and what took you there?
17 years. I went primarily for school. There was a change in our family. Parents divorced, as happens so often now. And mm-hmm. we had family out in Alberta and opportunities. So we did go out there, but like most Nova Scotians who longed to come home, I made my way back.
Aside from that, and that every so often I tell people we have magnets in the road in Atlanta, Canada, and especially in Nova Scotia, what was the real impetus to bring you home? Was it school, work?
It's really a lifestyle choice. It's the values are different. It's a slower pace. It's beautiful here. It's just feels like home, everything about it.
Who are you to talk about slower pace after what you've been through this past week getting ready for the Lunenburg Dog Festival?
Oh, it's all good, though. No complaints.
No. Okay. We'll get into some music. And when I saw this name, I thought, I am really out of the loop.
Oh.
Jitterbug Vipers.
Oh, yeah.
And Phoebe's Dream. And you have a connection to one of the composers of it,
yes.
Sarah Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
Sarah, I met in Austin. I go to Austin Film Festival and Screenwriting Conference every year. Mm-hmm. And as you probably know, Austin is a phenomenal place for music.
Yep.
And Sarah happened to be interested in both of those things, and I met her at the conference, and she is the lead singer of the Jitterbug Vipers.
And did you ever meet the Lounge Lizards when you're in Austin?
I did not. No.
Shame on you. Next time we'll bring in some of their music. And Phoebe's Dream, you chose that because?
I don't, it's just my favorite. I don't really have a reason for that one.
Did you ever hear the story of dear Phoebe? She thought she found her way up off the ground. She tried to smoke her way up into heaven, but they turned her back around. She was bitten by an adder on a ladder to the sky. She was trying to get higher, didn't need no reason why. The vipers love to watch her move. Up, up, up she climbed. Man, that girl was smoking. My, oh my, so high, high, so high. Well, I guess she never figured that she'd ever come back down. But she must have met her maker, and he turned her back around. He said, darling, don't you get me wrong. A viper knows no bounds, but sometimes up is down, 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 down. She dreamed about a ladder, 18 stories high. That's where she met an adder. He said, come with me, grab a stick of tea, we're gonna ride up to the sky.
a jazzy feel to it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Jitterbug Vipers in Phoebe's Dream.
It's great, isn't it?
Yep.
You're listening to the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
One of the great talents in the Maritimes is Lenny Gallant. Mm-hmm. And what is interesting is, like the Rankins, the Mary McNeils, and McMasters, that you can't hold the Gallants down because there's so many talented nephews and cousins and uncles and aunts. And 10 Strings and a Goatskin were formed maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. And his just two of the members are his nephews. And I saw them, and then I saw them a year later, and I thought, wow, what growth in 1 year. Phenomenal. And this is interesting. If you saw the movie, why am I even saying that to you? If you saw the movie, you've seen them all. But Shipping News.
Yes, of course.
And the moving of the house. I thought of this immediately when Lenny told us the story of saving his, I believe, his grandmother's house, elderly widow, when somebody claimed that the house was sitting on his property and he was going to kick her out and take over the house. So they got the villagers together and they moved it overnight. 10 Strings and a Goatskin, music written by Lenny Gallant and his nephew Rowan. This is the night they moved the house.
The word had spread from door to door down the Barchois Road to the harbor shore. Oh, Joe LaBelle would steal the house from the widow Victoria. He'd found some deed that claimed her land, and a handshake deal just wouldn't stand. In a court of law, he did demand that the house belonged to him. Ring the church bells in the night, we'll gather at the first starlight. Bring your lamps, sleighs and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we'll move this house before the dawn. When Joe LaBelle arrives, he'll find his prize already gone. It seems that some mistake was made on the day her husband made a trade. When he died, he was betrayed by Joe LaBelle's black heart. He planned to force her to the cold, and he'd bring the sheriff and his foes. So through the dead of winter's hold, we'd come to save her home. Ring the church bells in the night, we'll gather at the first starlight. Bring your lamps, sleighs and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we'll move this house before the dawn. When Joe LaBelle arrives, he'll find his prize already gone. You could see his breath in the air as Perfilix said the Lord's Prayer and passed the wine to all hands there. Then he sang a sailor song. There must have been near 40 men while their wives all held their lamps for them. They fashioned logs, levers, and skids while shivering to the bone. With witches, logs, and Pino's sleigh, they slowly hauled the house away. And the ice cracked like a break of day as across it she was drawn. We rang the church bells in the night, we worked until the morning light. Brought our lamps, sleighs, and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we moved this house before the dawn. Joe LaBelle arrived and found his prize already gone. We rang the church bells in the night, we worked until the morning light. Brought our lamps, sleighs and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we moved this house before the dawn. Joe LaBelle arrived and found his prize already gone.
Ten Strings and a Goatskin, the night they moved the house. That is a jazzy little number. The Lunenburg Docks idea, how did it really start?
Inga Hatton, as so many things do around here,
mover and shaker she is.
Yes, she's
idea
fantastic.
Person.
So she was in discussion just, I think, casually, and just put an email out to some filmy kind of people, whether they had experience or just film enthusiasts, and just asked what they would think about having a documentary film festival, a festival just for documentaries. So we got together, we met, and by the end of that first meeting, it was happening.
You've probably done this before. You're involved in so many things where an idea or a germ happens, and then somebody lets it out, somebody discusses it, and it takes a form, takes a life, sometimes on its own. Is that the same way that this happened, that people got on the phone or they got on emails and started saying, are you interested? And how were you and Deb selected? Because of your film background?
Well, both Deb and I do have some film experience, either behind the camera or in front of the camera or both. I suppose because our board, the way it's made up, many of our members aren't here all year round, and Deb and I are. And because we have such a passion for film, as do the others, I think just having us here and somewhat experienced made us suitable, I guess, to share the position.
And also, you're an actor and a playwright. Don't shrug your shoulders. You are very good at what you do. And you dance.
Yes.
So you're incredibly well-rounded in the arts, performing arts, if I can say that. And Deb has her movie experience, too, as a locations person.
30 years.
30 years of it, yeah. And so that idea is born. The two of you become co-chair in the founding year. What kind of difficulties do you have getting something off the ground for the first time?
Well, initially, we thought it would be fundraising and marketing, but the response and the support has been overwhelming. Our sponsors have really come through for us. The generosity, both in funds and in-kind contributions, whether it's goods and services or just spreading the word. People are really excited about it.
What's the image of a documentary? Now, when I remember being a kid in school, to me, the educational movies were maybe an earlier form of documentaries. They told a story. They sometimes interviewed people. And I love them. But some classmates just figured that was a way to get out of class, or it was an easy class. But documentaries seem to take on a different life as audiovisual came in and became easier for the average person to use. And of course, we can get into YouTube and that sort of thing. But has the idea of documentaries changed in recent history?
It has. We have come to see more variety in the styles and points of view. So, for example, one of our short documentaries is actually an animated documentary. So there's, different styles that way, different forms. Some are mixed genre, docudrama, where it's not completely documentary. And you'll see submissions that are done with fancy professional cameras and submissions done with, handheld cameras or iPhones, smartphones. It's just more accessible, I think, nowadays.
Is it too bland to nail it down and say that there's an average length of documentaries? They can be any length, right?
They can.
Rose Cousins. Yes. I can't get enough of her music.
Me neither.
And she's one of the artists we play most frequently on the Blue Nose Opera House. And the song Dance If You Want To means what?
Just what it says.
What a question to ask
it.
You. Yeah, like ask somebody who's a professional dancer.
Do what's in your heart, what your passion, just like this Doc Fest for me personally.
Yeah, you chose it.
I did choose it. I just highly believe that you should follow your passion and not only in work and life and play, but I had four choices, and it was hard to narrow down, but I chose
away all
that one.
Secrets.
Yeah. It was the first, actually, the first song, or one of the very first, when I first saw Rose. I think it was at the Folk Fiesta, the fundraiser for Folk Harbor. And she was there, and I'd never seen her before. And that was, I believe, one of the songs she sang, and it just stuck with me.
Dance if you want to, and I'll sit and watch you. Show me the steps that you
I wouldn't insult her because I love her music. I like her writing, but I also love her sense of humor when she's emceeing, that intelligence, that wit. And when she's winding up like Tom Hanke, you know she's going to deliver a line and mean it. And yet there's no sarcastic put down. Rose Cousins, dance if you want to. We're going to fire the last announcer for asking a professional dancer, why did she choose Dance If You Want To?
You're listening to the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Pamela Sager, Blue Nose Opera House front and center, and you're back with us for a very quick update just prior to the launch. This is exciting, the premiere launch, the curtain going up, the excitement that happens when something not just opens but happens for the first time. I mean, there's only that moment can be found, I think, in show business. As far as I'm concerned, this is not television. You keep nodding your head toward me. I'm going to sit here roasting away. Listen, I have to confess, we have no tricks or games this time. Remember last time we did Stump the Chump?
Yes, you stumped me.
Yeah, we're not going to do this. I did bring in, I have it with me every week that we do the show, but I don't have the courage to ask someone in a mandate form to actually do it.
Okay.
But I have this recipe from Dame Edna's book.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how to remove stretch marks, but we won't go into that, and I won't make you read it. Mike Cowie and Water Babies were the hottest jazz group going in Atlanta, Canada for a long time. They played in a place called Niche in Halifax. And the Water Babies and Mike, when Mike sings, he sounds a bit like Chet Baker. And this is an old song co-written by Jimmy Dorsey called I'm Glad There Is You.
In this world of ordinary people, extraordinary people, there is you. In this world of overrated treasure and underrated pleasures, I'm glad there is you. Beside me, this road so new, I'm muddled through with you to guide me. So in this world where many, many play at love, hardly any stay in love, I'm glad there is you. More than ever, I'm glad there is you. Thank you. like me. This road so new, I'll muddle through with you to guide me. So in this world, where many, many play love and hardly any stay in love, I'm glad there is you. More than ever, I'm glad there is you. I'm glad there is you. More than ever, more than.
Okay, that's kind of a cheek-to-cheek late night, which I did too many of those song, or the kind of song that you picture walking down a street, old lampposts, maybe your collar rose up because it's starting to rain and you're carrying an umbrella and it's late at night. I asked you before if there's any such thing as a length for documentary, but there isn't. They can be just a matter of minutes mm-hmm. or
yes.
hours.
Yes. In fact, I think our shortest, we just this morning chose our last film, and it was a short. And it's 4 minutes and 50 seconds, so wow. That's our shortest.
Documentaries, I think people are really getting into, and I don't know if it's propelled by the internet and what's going on and people watching YouTube, maybe ad infinitum or too much. But it has become such a recognized art form that some very serious people are doing documentaries, including first-timers. And I think that makes it interesting. And maybe it's one of the most democratic forms of movie making.
Maybe it is,
with
yeah.
With accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And with the tools that almost anybody can afford.
Yes, it's completely accessible for anybody. Well, our youth program, for example, these are youths between 11 and 18, mm-hmm. and most of them have never made any kind of video. And we have them out there creating their first documentaries. We're going to screen them on the last day of the festival.
And you have some mentors there, right?
Yes,
some people
we do.
Are going to be working. Tim Reeves Horton.
Yes, Tim Reeves Horton.
And Danielle.
And we have Danielle Noble. Yes, mm-hmm. that's our youth program coordinator. We also have two other mentors, Sam Maskell and Brayden Newell.
And what's going to happen during the youth workshop?
So already they've had a free tour of the Fisheries Museum mm-hmm. Where they learned a bit about the culture and the history and the types of subjects they may want to focus on. And upcoming, they'll be actually taping at the Fisheries Museum and around town. You may see them next weekend on the 13th and 14th.
So what age groups are you talking about? What ages?
Mm-hmm. 11 to 18.
Do you find that the interests are different between the 11 or the 18-year-olds, or is it blurred?
Well, to be honest, they've only had the one day together so far. Mm-hmm. So if we've split them up into teams, so each one has a role or two roles, and they're going to form a complete film crew to make these documentaries. So we'll see how that goes in the next weekend.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Harry Manx mm-hmm. opened some years ago at Main Stage Folk Harbor, and as he was tuning and then almost invisibly segueing into his first tune, he was joking about, I keep this up, everybody's just going to start levitating. But he's a pretty cool guy. And you brought in Walking Ghost Blues.
Yes.
You like the blues. You probably like any kind of music.
Anything but really heavy metal. Yeah, everything. But I found that song in particular, I love all of his music, but that one in particular just really makes me sit back and listen.
Where did you discover Harry?
at Folk Harbor Festival.
The thoughts like old vultures prey upon my heart. All my riches got wings and it's too late to start. One day I had a vision my life could disappear. I cried for an hour, yeah, I mourned for a year. I stumble, I rumble, I bumble and I curse. I ain't no better than any man, Lord, Lord, I ain't no worse. Well, well, I know who I used to be. Now I'm a walking ghost, yeah, just turned 83. Little my mother knew the day she cradled me. Trouble I'd find, yeah, the loss I'd come to see. Well, well, well. I stumble, I rumble, I bumble, I curse. No, I ain't no better than any other man, no, ain't no worse, oh no. Religion over her own son, and now you can comfort her the same's I've done. Last thing you told me, yeah, to my fate I gotta yield. I spent my whole life working that damn field. Well, 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 I stumble, I rumble, I bumble and I curse. I ain't no better than any man. I ain't no worse. Well, 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 well. Well, 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 well. I ain't no worse. Ain't no worse.
That's cool. Everything Harry Manx does really is. From Salt Spring, Ireland, where he writes and lives, Walking Ghost Blues.
You're listening to the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
I can't believe I have so many questions for you and so little time, and we have to play music, so you brought in and you'll introduce Melody Gardot, is it?
It is.
Guys, it's not Bardo, it's Gardo.
Gardo, that's right. You know, I was introduced to her, not literally to her, but to her work through a story about her and not her music. She was in a tragic car accident.
That's quite Melody.
Yes, and she had to learn to walk again. So she turned to music as a way to, as a therapy in a way, to keep her spirits lifted. And that's how she came into this mode of music anyway.
My soul is a weary. My soul is a weary. My soul is a weary. I said my soul is a weary now. My soul is a weary and beaten down from all my misery. Yeah. Oh Lord, will comfort me. My soul is a weary and beaten down from all my misery. Yeah. Oh Lord, who will comfort me? They love me. My heart that keeps stops me bound when the whole wide world is free. Yeah, oh Lord, who will comfort me? Got a hold on my heart that keeps me bound when the whole wide world is free. Yeah, oh Lord, who will comfort me?
Melody Gardot, Who Will Comfort Me? And I love that story. And people who have a sense of humor. And obviously she does. And she wrote that too. Yeah. Pamela Sager, you are a delight just to ask questions and talk about Lunenburg Docs Festival. How did you get the word out?
Well, I find that social media has been a huge help for us. We have other modes as well. We have a fantastic poster. Have you seen it? Bright mm-hmm. red with that black film bird.
Great logo.
Really eye-catching. And yes, and Judith Carey in town helped us with that. So we have the poster all over.
Reminds me of Ironworks.
Oh, yes, yes. One of our sponsors.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, Judith knows what she's doing.
Yes, she does.
This is going to happen over a 3-day weekend. Mm-hmm. What made you decide 3 days?
Well,
for attendance?
We wanted to offer a selection of films in 6 different categories, or at least a few different categories. Mm-hmm. And we thought we could do Friday and Saturday and Sunday, or just 2 days. And then it occurred to us the Atlantic Film Festival is, of course, mm-hmm. going on and would wind up on the Thursday.
So you're going to
tailgate
that.
So we can pick
that
up on the Friday,
yep.
Yes, and maybe gain some of the same audience or filmmakers from that festival.
Now, I'd like to go over the type of tickets that you have. You have one that's the whole shebang, including the gala. And it's sold out.
It's sold out, yeah, a little while ago. Mm-hmm. That was for the entire Friday, Saturday, Sunday, plus the opening night gala at the Fisheries Museum.
And what other tickets? You have categories of blocks that you can buy or individuals that you can buy?
Okay, we have one more type of film pass, which mm-hmm. you can purchase. It gets you into all of the screenings on Saturday and Sunday, which includes filmmaker Q&As and shorts as well. So six different screenings for $50. And you can buy those passes online at our website or at our box office at 139 Montague Street.
Give your email address.
Sure. The website address is mm-hmm. www.lunenburgdoc.com. Which is D-O-C, fest.com.
And
we have tickets as well, $10 per screening at the festival box office.
So you think you'll have some at the door?
We'll definitely have a rush line at the door. We may have tickets, but the way they're selling right now, I can't guarantee it. They're selling pretty well.
And the venues include the Ice House Auditorium at the Fisheries Museum and the Pearl Theater, right?
That's right.
I guess people should get there ahead of time.
Yes, they should definitely get there.
If they don't have tickets.
Yes, definitely. At least 15 minutes ahead of time if you do not have tickets. I would strongly recommend if you think you might go to get the tickets.
And you folks have been pairing the short films and documentaries.
Yeah, so each
screening. For the actual screening.
Yeah, so each one will have at least one short before the feature screening.
Did I leave anything out?
Well, I can tell you that we have the six different categories. Our Atlantic, international, environmental, mm-hmm. political, music/art, and youth/family.
Yeah, you highlighted, and I saw the article in the paper, Good Press, Revolution, Climate Change mm-hmm. in Atlanta, Canada, which is relevant to all of us, Fight Like Soldiers, Die Like Children, Bounty, and Into the Hurricane, and Answers. Many of us will want to see that, too. And The Girls in the Band. I can't wait to catch that.
And one more, Meeting Sebastio Salgado. I'm sure I'm saying that first name incorrectly, which is about the world-renowned photographer, part activist, and globe trekker. And so he's quite famous for recording the migration of people and cultures around the world. And he's a phenomenal talent. And this is part biography piece and part art. It's really a great, great film.
So the festival launches on the 19th.
On the 19th?
Can't wait.
Yes, me neither.
Thank you for telling us about it. Most people remember in the pop culture, Otis Redding and Try a Little Tenderness. And I always think it's a message specifically that should be geared toward, can be any gender, but specifically toward men who need to learn over and over about tenderness. There was another song about that too. Beneath Your Honesty, You Don't Have to Lie to Me, Just Give Me Some Tenderness.
What can I do? What can I do? Much of what you say is true. I know you see through me, but there's no tenderness beneath your honesty. No tenderness beneath your honesty. You and me were such good friends. What's your hurry? You and me could make a man. I'm not worried. Oh, honesty. Oh, honesty. Ooh, it's such a waste of energy. No, you don't have to lie to me. Just give me some tenderness beneath your honesty.
give me some
tenderness. Doing too many all-night shows, that just slides in there wonderfully. Paul Simon, Dixie Hummingbirds, Tenderness. Thank you, and a big thank you and best of luck to Pamela Seger, launching the very first premiere edition of the Lunenburg Dock Festival. That's going to be great.
It's going to be great, Paul.
And I'm so glad you came in to give us an update.
Thank you.
This is number 86, can you believe, on our website. LunosOperaHouse.ca, where you can hear this show again or any of our 85 other shows, see pics, blogs, read bios, contact us, and check links, thanks to the World Wide Web. Hello to all our listeners on traditional and internet radio stations in Atlantic Canada, Ontario, and our friends listening via podcast around the world, including the group of 6 NPR stations in South Florida. Thank you for joining us with Pamela Seger. I'm Paul Kellogg. Make your speed run to the fridge, but don't touch that dial on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.